Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. And as I promised, here's part two of my tour of at the Johnson House historic site. You guys listen carefully and just go along, put yourselves in this place with me.
Back to the Underground Railroad is that one night there was a rapping at the front door. It was the constable or the sheriff.
Was there an African family in here?
Yep, there was. So the story is, how did they get away? Because we have no evidence of the Johnsons, and they were a prominent family, of their ever being arrested, ever being fined, or anything like that. So it would look as if now, if the family was here, and let's say the Africans, where did Africans stay? Probably wherever they were told to stay, okay? But we believe that some folks were maybe right here. And we have children come in, it's so funny, say, well, didn't the sheriff arrest them because we had the, they had the torches? And we're like, no, he just came, you know, and knocked on the door. But how did they exit? Did they take these steps? And we're going to go up these steps, but not yet, okay? Did that family that night, and did the Johnson family escort them this way? Or, and just want you to know, this is a basement right here, to this part of the house, okay? Be careful as you come down. I'm going to keep my oar for a minute, okay? because this part of the house is enclosed now, but it wasn't. This is the first part of the house that was built, where John and Rachel stayed until this part was finished. So this is around 1765. This finished in 1768, okay? So somehow, I guess, it got tired of being cold, so they decided to enclose this part. But everything you see here is just as it was. Now, we have storage in here now, but if you look at the width of the wood, you look at the hardware, old. This particular hutch that you see, when I did the early research, the date on this was 1798. That's what we had for a date there. These dishes are current. We just put this for display, as well as some of the utensils that are there. Did the family that night go up those steps, or did they? Or did the family that night travel up these steps? You see? These steps will take you to the second floor. Then there's another floor. Well, the squirrels had gotten in, and we want to get them out. So in order to get them out, we had caretakers here at the time. So the exterminator said, well, what's upstairs? What's behind this piece of furniture? I said, I don't know, because it's theirs. Here, we got to move it. And we move it, we see another set of steps like this.
Oh, my goodness, it's a hideaway.
So let's go outside.
Mind going outside just for a second?
No. Because the question would be, if African got this far, what did they do? So one of our stories that we have found from one of the relatives, Jenna Johnson, said whenever she stayed over, there was a different colored family here all the time. The other piece we have is that one night, according to Jenna, there was a knock on the back door. A large colored man came in with a note. And the next morning, so we know he stayed over, he was taken down. Now, her uncle wrote us at Washington Lane. But this is Washington Lane now, but it used to be called Abington Lane. Take you to the next stop in Montgomery County, which if you go to the end of this street, across the street, you're in another county.
Wow.
So it's about 20 blocks or something like that. So that's one of the stories that we have. So when you think about it, this, I call this, like, you know, hallowed ground in a way, because Africans came right here. Did they knock on that door, that door? I don't know which one, but Africans did, okay? Now, who else?
We have proof that William Cecil, of course, was here. But also Frederick Douglass. Mr. Blossom always says, the Harriet Tubman stopped by the house. I don't quite say it like that. I like to say,
we have reason to believe that she probably stopped, because her good friend Lucretia Mott lived, as I said, at the end of Washington Lane, across the street, Montgomery County, and she lived down the way on her home called Broomside. Can I go up for a minute?
Because how many homes would have been participating?
Cheryl LaRoche did, and I'll give you the name of the book. It's called Underground Railroad Communities.
Mm-hmm.
She's a archaeologist and I think / anthropologist. She's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But her research of some communities in Reading, Pennsylvania, Ohio, because we're, you know, right next door, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
really her data show that the Underground Railroad, first and foremost, is black folks helping black folks. Now, we live in Philadelphia, which has been known as the Quaker City, because the Quakers did run the city for a long time. But we must be clear that not all Quakers were anti-slavery. For example, Credit is given to William Penn for founding Pennsylvania. However, the original people here were the Lenni Lenape people, whose name changed to Delaware, which included other smaller groups called Yunami and Munsee. It's called the Land of Turtles or something like that. I don't know if you had a chance to go to where Chief Tamanin is.
No.
At Front Street. Okay. So, and they called this street that we crossed, we called Germantown Avenue. The Native people called it the Great Road. So when we're talking about this story of the Underground Railroad, it's black folks helping black folks first and foremost. Because when you tell the story of the Quakers, if William Penn is supposed to arrive in 1682, we have documentation from the book First City and other documentation such as what Mr. Bloxham pulls up. 1684, 2 years later, of the many ships that came into Philadelphia port, one was called the Isabella. That particular ship had 150 Africans who disembarked, badly clothed and so forth. And they were purchased by a group of white Quakers to clear the land. There are other stories, the Ganges story, where ship was Africans were on the ship, and this judge, who is getting his credit for being an abolitionist, I said, well, why don't you send the folks back home? Mm-hmm. He indentured them. And you hear historians say, well, there's a way to protect it. Like, so one of the historians, V. Chapman, found out that one of the women's name was Phoebe. And so she was interviewed. And I think her point was like, why you send me back home? You know? Right. So, it's this piece that we look at, once again, the notion of being a commodity. Well, that's when people come and they ask, well, where did Africans actually stay? I say, wherever they were probably told to stay. I can't sit there and say, they stayed there, they stayed here. Yeah. We dedicate, this is, we had a director, Linda Talbert, and we received a small fund to look at women abolitionists. So here you have, for example, Mary Ann Shad-Carey, who was a writer. Here you have the one and only Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. She was something. She had buried me in a freelance. She had a whole poem on that. It was fabulous. Here we have the one and only Sojourner Truth, who I thought, without knowing, for some reason I felt her roots were Southern. Wrong. She was born in Ulster County, New York. Her first language was Dutch. Her name was Isabella Bonfrey. She had cruel captors. I don't use the word owners. I don't say master, I say owners. This is Abby Kelly Foster, who was born in this country, but she had Irish heritage, but she knew about oppression. So she was a part of it. The one and only Mrs. Tubman. And I had a chance to go to on a trip to Canada in the fall, and the woman that was the travel agent, she was fabulous. I don't know how she got that bus driver to make a turn from leaving Toronto and going to some of the sites where Harriet Tubman was to Auburn, New York. So we saw her home for the aged and infirm. It's like, we should do this. So that's her background. And that was that. She married, her husband, Tubman, you know the story? Her husband, John Tubman, was someone who wasn't in sync with her, if you will. She was on her mission, and she came back once with a brand new suit and asked him, John, here's a suit, let's go. He said, I'm not going nowhere. I got me a new wife. Mm-hmm. And because you don't stay put. Well, she's on a mission. She can't stay put.
And it so, probably would be years between them being together.
Well, I don't have the exact year here, but I should get it in my head. But didn't matter because she married Mr. Davis, who was a younger man. He was a member of the USCT, the United States Colored Troops. Okay, so Miss Tubman was something. She didn't have children, but she had nieces because Mrs. Tubman, spoke in dialect, so that's very standard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But one of her quotes that she's quote, I never run my train off the track, and I never lost a passenger.
So they should have said it the way she said it.
I think so. Yes. But here we have other women. Grace Bastille Douglas, just so you know, her descendancy would be with Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson's mother's name was Louisa Bastille. Mm-hmm. And then she married Mr. Douglas.
Fascinating, Olivia, right?
I'm so glad you took us along with you as best you could.
Oh, my gosh. So when you go to Philadelphia, you definitely want to check them out at the Johnson House Historic Site and go and have your own tour and experience it really firsthand. Definitely. Now, thanks for listening today. The show has been brought to you by the Sapelo Island Beach Vacations. Check out their website at sapeloislandbeachvacations.com. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.